here, although they are leaving today. And so if they slip out early, it's not because they're mad and they don't like my message. It's because they have to catch a plane to Israel. But we had a little Oneg Wednesday night for Aviva and Yonatan, and just a blessing to have you here and to celebrate what God has done in bringing the two of you together. And so we asked Aviva to sing a song for us today, and then Yonatan to share his testimony, which is powerful. But so we're going to start with your song. So we're going to get you situated here just to get a little sound check of Jim for Aviva. And then Yonatan is going to be sharing his testimony as well.
Check one, let's see.
It's good, yeah. Thanks.
Shabbat shalom. Kulam.
Such an honor to be here with you guys, and blessed and honor of Rabbi Mike, Rabbi Carol, and our family. I'm just so thankful for this time that we have to be together. The song is called Ashuv Alecha, and it means I will come back to you. Okay. So it says, show me the way, and I will come back to you, even if it's difficult. I will again be in your arms, and at the end, I will live. I will come back, I will come back. I will give you my life, every part of my heart and my soul, all that is within me. I will come back to you. I will give you my life, every part of my soul, of my heart. Even in many ways I have tried, and I have found that they have all led me astray. But there's one voice that burns within me that I will listen to you. I will come back to you. As written by a friend of ours, Yaron Israeli.
Shabbat shalom lekulam.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Ani daber ivrit v'ishti ha'yikara tetargem oti
le'anglit.
Ani me'od me'od מתרגש
ו-excited.
תודה לאל שאני פוגש אתכם.
I meet you.
שמעתי עליכם רבות.
I've heard many things about you.
ועל האמונה שלכם
ועל
האהבה שלכם לאדון ישוע.
Your love to Messiah Yeshua.
ועל התמיכה שלכם בישראל.
Your support for Israel.
בארץ ליהודים שנתנו את החיים שלהם לישוע.
Jews have given, who have given their lives to Yeshua.
וגם לישראל
כעם.
אנחנו באמת מודים לכם שאתם נותנים לנו כמה דקות לחלק איתכם.
We thank you for a few moments that we're able to share.
ומעריכים ואוהבים ממש את כולכם. אני מרגיש אישית פה כמו משפחה.
And we thank you and I feel personally your family.
אני אנסה כמה שיותר לתמצת את העדות שלי.
I'll try my best to shorten my testimony.
אז תהיו סובלנים.
Be patient.
אוקיי. אני נתתי את הלב שלי לאדון כשעוד הייתי ילד.
I gave my heart to the Lord when I was a child.
אבל כמו הרבה ילדים מרדתי.
But just like many children I rebelled.
והגעתי לגיל 18 ולצבא.
And so when I was 18 and I enlisted in
אבל הייתי צריך לשרת בצרפת בגלל שנולדתי שם.
I had to serve in the French army because I was born there.
וזה קרה אותי, זה היה מאוד קשה.
It was very hard.
בגלל שרציתי קודם בישראל.
Because I wanted to serve in Israel.
אבל זה היה הכרחי, והלכתי לשרת שם.
But I was forced, so I went to serve.
היה מאוד קשה, כשאני נכנסתי לשם, ראיתי שזה לא בשבילי.
And I saw that it wasn't for me there.
והייתי ילד מרדן.
I was rebellious.
ולא חיבתי את הסמכויות.
Didn't respect authority.
קצת כישראלי טיפוסי, לא אוהב שאומרים לו מה לעשות.
Typical Israeli who doesn't like to be told what to do.
והייתי ממש ילד רע עם הסמכויות,
just not very good with authority,
אבל די טוב עם אלה שסובלים ועם החלשים.
But very good with those who are suffering.
בכל זאת, היהירות הזאת, היהירות, יהיר, גאוותן, יהירות.
So this pride.
הובילה אותי למקומות לא טובים.
Brought me to difficult places.
ולעימותים עם חיילים מוסלמים.
And there was a Muslim soldier in France.
יום אחד הייתי צריך ללכת למשימה.
One day we had a training or a task.
והלכתי לשירותים, היה תיגב 40 קילו.
I had a 40 kilo backpack.
ונשק כאן, וערכה ביולוגית כימית.
Biological weapons.
והיה חייל מוסלמי שביקש ממני
Muslim soldier that asked me
כסף
for money.
ואמרתי לו, אני לא אתן לך היום, יש לי.
No, today I'm not going to give to you.
כל יום אני נותן לך ואתה לא אומר לא תודה לא בבקשה.
Every day you ask me and you never say please or thank you.
וזרקתי לו קללה בעברית.
And then I cursed him in Hebrew.
ועשיתי לו ג'סטה לא יפה.
Not so nice gesture.
והלכתי לשירותים.
I went to the bathroom.
והתפניתי ובזמן שהתפניתי שמעתי את הדלת נטרקת.
I heard the door open.
ואז אני רק הסתובבתי.
I turned around.
וכבר ראיתי את את הטבעת שלו מתרסקת פה.
Already his ring had entered into my face.
ולרגע הדם שלי התחיל לזרום.
My blood started spurting out.
ולרגע הסעתי את העיניים שמאלה.
My eyes went left.
ובזמן הזה הוא לקח את הרובה ו...
Then he took his gun and pounded into my head.
וזה נכנס פנימה הרקה פה.
Inside my temple.
כן. ונפלתי על הארץ.
I fell to the ground.
קיבלתי עיוורון, נהייתי עיוור לגמרי.
I was completely blind.
ולא יכולתי לעשות כלום כי הייתי פה עם נשק
ותיק
כן של 40 קילו 80 פאונד
about 80
pounds. והוא התחיל לחוות לי נעליים מרופדות בראש. משהו מעבר ל-30 בעיטות בכל הכוח.
Kicks with all of his might.
והוא היה בגובה כזה.
He was about this tall.
והוא היה ככה מרובע ממש. כן, מסה של שרירים, מאוד מאוד חזק.
Very strong.
ובאותו רגע התחלתי לדמם, הרגלתי חום, הרגשתי חום.
I felt heat in my head.
ואז כאילו הדם התחיל לזרום.
And the blood started to
מכל הכיוונים.
From all directions.
ואז מהפה.
My mouth.
ונשטפתי. ובאותו רגע אני זוכר, התחלתי להרגיש קל.
Feel light.
והתחלתי לנסוע ממש מהר.
And it was going very fast.
במקום מאוד חשוך. הכל היה חשוך.
Very dark.
אני הייתי חשוך.
I was dark.
אבל היה לי את ה-conscience, היה לי את ה...
But I was aware.
ידעתי, כן. ונסעתי ממש, ממש, ממש מאוד מהר, קדימה.
I was going very, very fast forward.
ובמקום מסוים אמרתי, יונתן, אתה בן 18 וחצי.
I thought to myself, יונתן, you're 18 and a half years old.
ואתה מת.
And you're dead.
ואיך שסיימתי בראש להגיד את זה, בלב אמרתי, אלוהים, אם אתה קיים, תעשה משהו.
In my heart, I thought, God, if you exist, do something.
ואיך שסיימתי את המשפט בלב,
just as I finished the sentence in my heart,
ראיתי מצד ימין קרן אור קטנה,
a ray of light, a small ray of light,
עצומה, חזקה, לאט לאט, ממלאה את כל החלל,
filling up,
ונכנסת פה בפלקסוס, במפתח הלב.
And entering into my heart.
וזה היה אור כזה חזק, מלא חיים, מלא אור, מלא...
strong light, full of life.
וחזרתי לגוף, זה החזיר אותי לגוף.
Turned to my body.
וקמתי ככה.
And I got up like this.
ככה, ואחרי שלוש פעמים שאני אומר, אני הורג אותו, הורג אותו, הורג אותו.
Three times I said, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you.
נפלתי לתרדמת.
And I fell into a coma.
של 5.5 months.
Or 5.5 months.
ואני זוכר בזמן הזה,
time,
זה כל מה שאני זוכר, אני זוכר שבצד ימין
right,
היה הצוות הרפואי,
team,
אני ראיתי את הגוף שלי שם,
there,
וראיתי בן אדם שנתן לי גב בגלימה לבנה,
back,
ועם שיער עד הכתף,
and,
והוא עמד בצורה כזאת.
Like
וזה מה שאני זוכר מהתרדמת. ואז כשיצאתי מהקומה, התחלתי להרגיש משהו אחר. לא יכולתי לישון, לא יכולתי לחשוב כמו פעם.
Or think how I used to.
וזכרתי את ישוע מהילדות. והייתה תביעה, משטרה צבאית ועימות.
There was a court case and the army police.
ותבעתי אותו על ניסיון לרצח.
So I was able to sue him for murder.
ובסופו של דבר מה שקרה ש...
But in the end, what happened?
שאמרו לי שהוא הולך ל-20 שנת מאסר, 20 שעות מאסר.
That he's going to 20 years to prison.
ושאם אני מוותר על התביעה,
and if I give up this lawsuit,
אז הוא לא יעשה את המאסר הזה.
Then he won't go to prison.
ואמרו לי שהוא מצטער, הוא מתחרט.
They told me that he regrets what
שהוא לא בוכה, הוא בוכה.
That he cries.
לא אוכל.
He doesn't eat.
ולא ישן.
He doesn't sleep.
ובאמת מתחרט.
And he truly regrets what he did.
וישוע נתן לי באותו זמן את הכוח, רציתי לנקום.
And so I wanted vengeance.
אבל נתן לי את הכוח באותו רגע לסלוח.
The strength at that moment to forgive.
וקראתי את התביעה,
ועליתי
עליו לאוהל וחיבקתי אותו.
I went up to him and hugged him.
וסלחתי לו.
And forgave him.
והמשכתי.
And והמשכתי,
אבל כשיצאתי מהצבא,
when I was released from the army,
כן, התחלתי להידרדר.
I started to deteriorate.
כן, הרגשתי בלב שאני חלש.
I felt very weak in my heart.
היה לי פולס מאוד נמוך.
Very low pulse.
ורזיתי.
And I was very thin.
הייתי יותר פחות מחצי.
I was less than half of what I am now.
ולא, כאילו, ידעתי שיש משהו מעבר.
And I knew that there was something more.
והחיים על הארץ נגרמו לי קצת לא, לא, לא אטרקטיביים.
Life here
כן.
wasn't so productive.
ופשוט יום אחד,
one day,
משפחה ואחים בישוע לקחו אותי למפגש מאמינים דווקא מארצות הברית ובערב פשוט התחלתי שהלב שלי הולך ודורך הולך ודורך הולך ודורך כן ופשוט הלב שלי התחיל לדהור כן וצרחתי והגוף שלי הפך לקרש, עוד כמו קרש.
My body just turned like a board.
ומתתי, קיבלתי התקף לב.
And I had a heart attack. I died. I had a heart attack.
ומה שראיתי אז, מה שקרה לי אז,
what happened to me?
זה הדבר הכי אישי, אבל גם הכי מרגש ש... אני יכול לחלק בחיים האלה.
The most personal thing that I could share and the most emotional thing in my life.
אפילו ברגעים הכי קשים. שעברתי אחרי זה, זה החזיק אותי. ומה שקרה שאני הרגשתי מישהו לוקח אותי ביד, ואני עובר שמיים כהים, לא כהים, כדארק, כן. ואז אני פתאום מגיע למקום שהוא טהור, לבן, תכלת, זהוב, שקוף, הכל חי שם, ואני זוכר שהיו מולי רבבות, רבבות של מלאכים קטנים,
multitudes of angels, small
angels, שרים ועושים את התנועה הזאת מימין לשמאל,
and making this movement from right to left.
ואני לא יכולתי להסתכל על כל הקדושה הזאת,
and I couldn't look at all this holiness,
וצרחתי,
and I screamed,
תמה, תמה אני,
unclean, I'm unclean,
וכולי הייתי שחור לגמרי,
and I was completely black,
לגמרי,
totally, totally black,
הכל, וצרחתי, תמה אני, לא יכולתי,
and I just cried out, I'm unclean, I'm clean.
ו מימיני,
to my right,
הבן אדם הזה שאז ראיתי בקומה,
this man that I saw when I was in the coma,
היה לצידי, ואז אני זוכר שהוא היה לו פשוט הכל היה חי בו.
And I remember that everything was alive in him.
אני זוכר היה לו שיער עד פה.
He had hair.
אבל השיער לא היה שחור הפעם.
It wasn't at this time.
הוא היה משתנה, הוא היה משתנה מנחושת לזהב, מזהב
ל... changing colors like gold and bronze and
הכל היה משתנה, הכל היה חי,
ועל
היה לו זקן צמוד.
And he had a very thin beard
close to his... והיה שמן שמטפטף, עולה ויורד על השמן.
Oil that was dripping.
פרמננט כזה.
Just going up and down his face.
והוא היה עם גלימה לבנה, ודיבר בשפה שלא הבנתי,
and he spoke in a language I didn't understand.
והוא דיבר בעדי.
And he was speaking on my behalf.
אבל הוא דיבר למישהו שישב על מקום מאוד רם.
And he was speaking to somebody who was very high up.
שהוא היה בגודל עצום.
That was just an enormous size.
כן, ראיתי רק את הרגליים שלו.
I only saw his legs.
אבל הרגשתי את הנוכחות שלו, שפשוט הוא היה...
felt his presence that
he... אני לא יכול להגיד, אבל הוא היה... הגודל שלו לא... אי אפשר לתאר את הגודל שלו בגודל גופני, פיזי, כן, בפיזיקה, זה פשוט עצום.
Just giant, enormous.
והבן אדם הזה התחיל פשוט להילחם על חיי.
To a war on my life, for my life.
ולשכנע,
and to convince,
את מי שישב על הכיסא,
who was sitting on the throne,
לתת לי משהו.
To give me something.
ואני זוכר ש הבן אדם הזה, וזה היה ברור לי שזה ישוע.
And it was clear to me that this man was Yeshua.
שזה ישוע שקם לתחייה.
Yeshua who rose from to life, rose to life.
הרגשתי בחור טוב, איש טהור.
Felt like a pure, pure man.
הרגשתי את הלב שלו, לב טהור ועמוק.
Pure, deep heart.
שהוא נלחם על חיי, שהוא משכנע את האב לי. למחול לי, שהוא משכנע אותו, כן, שווה לתת לו.
Convincing the father, yes, it's worth it to give to him his life.
ואז היה רעש כזה מאוד גדול בשמיים, רעש.
And there was this noise in heaven.
כמו גונג.
Like a gong.
עצום.
A giant gong.
ואז אני שתקתי.
And I was quiet.
הפסקתי לצרוח.
I stopped to scream.
ולפחד.
And to be afraid.
ומהכיסא שמעתי קול גדול.
So from this throne, this voice,
כמו הרי געש,
like a volcano,
וצונמי,
or a tsunami,
ומבול,
or a flood,
ביחד,
all together,
חטאיך נסלחו.
It said, your sins are forgiven.
And באותו זמן,
at the same time,
באותו זמן, נהר יצא,
a river came from the throne,
ושטף אותי,
and washed me,
ונפלתי,
and I fell,
ובאו לחגוג,
and
כל מיני פרפרים ומלאכים
angels and
באו לחגוג והפכתי להיות לבן לגמרי.
And I was completely white.
וזה לא בגלל מעשים או משהו,
wasn't because of my deeds.
או משהו שהייתי שווה, זה רק בגלל שישוע עמד שם.
Only because Yeshua stood
there. והוא התחנן על חיי.
And he pleaded for my life.
כן. ואז היו כל מיני, אני זוכר, abundance, corn of קרן שפע.
Then this cornucopia.
Horn. קרן שפע, horn.
Like a horn with a...
כן, עם כל מיני...
cornucopia.
כן, נשפכה עליי.
I was poured out on.
ואז מלאך יותר גדול.
And then a higher up angel.
נתן לי ספר מגילה.
It gave me a scroll.
שהייתה מתוקה.
That was sweet.
ואני זוכר שהם נלחמו גם בגוף שלי.
And they,
כן, נלחמו להוציא משם רוח של שנאה.
And they were warring for against this spirit of hatred that was in my body.
הם פשוט, כי אני זוכר בחרב הם נכנסו.
And I remember with a sword they
כן, לוחמים נכנסו והגוף שלי היה, אני פתחתי דלתות לשנאה.
Because I opened up hatred into me.
נגד ערבים ונגד, כן, ונגד כל מיני מוסלמים. וזה גורש, ובאמת קיבלתי לב חדש באותו יום. בכיתי במשך 4 שעות. וכן, וישוע הושיע אותי, ואז אחרי הרבה שנים של אני הצטערתי לחזור לפה. לא הבנתי למה אלוהים מחזיר אותי לפה.
I regret it. I didn't understand why he brought me back here.
הרבה שנים נלחמתי בזה. למה?
Many years. I said, why did you send me back?
I wish, take me. And in the time, you know, he gave me, okay, I want to be here. And I realized he is the Lord. הוא האדון, והוא מחליט בשבילי, אני לא מחליט בשבילי.
But he is Lord and he decides for me.
והתפללתי לפני שנה וחצי, גם בקהילה בתפארת ישוע בתל אביב.
So our congregation in Tel Aviv, תפארת ישוע, I was praying about
a year ago. והרגשתי ממש שהזמן הגיע בשביל שאני אתחתן ויקים משפחה בישראל.
The time has come to get married, to establish a family in Israel.
וכן, ובאמת הרבה שנים אמרתי, טוב להיות אדם לבדו.
Because many years I had said, it's good to be single, man by himself.
Yeah, but he's not, in the end he's
but
not.
In the end, no.
And I was in my end. הייתי בסוף, וראיתי את אביבה נכנסת לתפארת ישוע באמצע תפילה, לפני האספה.
So Aviva can come in a prayer meet in the middle of a prayer meeting.
ביום שישי וראיתי את הרוח שלה לשנייה.
Saw her spirit for a moment.
ראיתי לוחמת עם שיער כמו אש וחרב ביד.
Like a warrior with hair like fire and a sword.
אבל לא רציתי להיות מופרע, כאילו לא רציתי שתפריע לי לתפילה.
I didn't want her to distract me during this prayer time.
אז לא שמתי לב, אמרתי,
didn't notice.
ואז בהלל,
but during worship,
אלוהים הראה לי את הלב שלה.
Then he showed me her heart.
וזה אמרתי, וואו.
Said, wow.
The first time I see the heart of someone, only even in me, you know. But ראיתי את הלב שלה completely for the Lord, completely, not inch, you know, without the Lord. And I said, wow. Yeah. And after I go to talking to her, and after 1 month of prayer and asking, and 2 days of fast, we pray after some, we have a first date, and after we pray like 5 hours, and we knew. Is by the Lord, because for this kind of decision, this must be the Lord, you know, tell you. Yeah, amen. Bless you. Amen. Brachot, brachot.
Amen. Don't leave. Come back, Yonatan. Come back. Yonatan. Rega. Give it up, Michael. So what a blessing. I can tell you this, the second date, if you didn't catch it, was a prayer meeting. They prayed 5 hours together on their second date, okay? So and God revealed, though, that they were to be together. But just a powerful testimony of God bringing this young man to faith. and because he knew that one day he would meet Aviva, and that they would become husband and wife and fulfill their destiny in God. And so we just rejoice in that. And they're going to soon be taken off, because I know they have about a half an hour left here. But stretch your hands out. We want to bless them. And until we see them again, which we hope is soon. And so, God, we thank you for Yonatan and Aviva. God, we thank you that you have brought them together to be husband and wife this year, God. And we know that you have good things only for them, God. And God, as they continue to delight themselves in you, we pray that you would give them the desires of their heart. God, that family that you have spoken to them about, God, that you would grant them that desire, Lord, that you would bring them many, many children, Lord, God, and that they would have a godly home centered on Yeshua and fulfilling their purpose and destiny among our Jewish people. Father, as they leave us today, God, we just pray that you would protect them, that you would continue to guide them, Lord, every step, God, of the way, that you would show them and bring them back to us soon. And Rebecca and Bob said, very soon. Amen. Thank you, God, for them. And so wipe the tears away from my eyes, right? What a blessing to hear. You know, his testimony is online as well. I've not seen it. My husband did, but you can see that. And although they edited it quite a bit, so Yonatan was telling us that, you know, try to get the whole thing together online sometime. So Aviva will have to keep us posted, and we'll let you guys, you know so you can watch, you know, the testimony thing. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the word from Adonai this morning. So join me as we say this prayer. If we have our PowerPoint up there, I think I put the opening prayer in there. Do we have that, Gabe? Avinu Malkeinu. Should be on the first slide. Yes, no? Well, pray after me. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. Amen. So last week, Rabbi Michael shared our third message in this series on vision, and it was entitled Enabling the Vision. And he encouraged us that the way a vision is enabled by is by our giving to Adonai. And he talked about four things that we could give. The first was to give ourselves totally to Adonai. Well, if we do that first thing, everything else is going to fall in place. And what God showed Yonatan of Aviva was that she had a heart that was 100% to Yeshua, totally given to him. As he said, he didn't see one little bit not given to Hashem. And so we want to give ourselves totally to Adonai. And as we do that, then that means we will give our service and our time. It means we will give our prayers. Rabbi Michael spoke on that. And that we will give of our finances. So today we're going to finish this series, and my message is entitled Fulfilling the Vision. So before we look at our scripture today, I want us to remember a couple of key concepts that we need to know if we're going to fulfill the vision. And I spoke about these a couple of weeks ago. And the first is that we cannot fulfill a vision if we don't know our mission, right? So we gave a short summary of our mission. So let's read this together, what our mission statement is. To connect Jewish people to the Messiah and help them get from where they are to where God wants them to be. Let's say that again. To help Jewish people, or to connect Jewish people to the Messiah and to help them get from where they are to where God wants them to be. And Chris shared this even in as she welcomed us today. In the process of connecting Jewish people, we also connect Gentile people, because God just brings Gentile people into our lives. Many of us in this room are from a Gentile background. So in the process, all people come to him. But we have a focus on Jewish people because we're the only congregation in Suffolk County that is reaching out to Jewish people, right? And then we talked about our purpose statement in detail. So read this purpose statement with me. The purpose of Beth Emanuel is to bring Jewish people to salvation by declaring Yeshua as the Messiah, equipping them to demonstrate his love to others, to express their devotion to God, to be dedicated to one another, and to grow as disciples. And the second concept that we shared in that message was that a vision is where you are going with that mission. So this mission that Beth Emanuel has, it's always been the mission of Beth Emanuel, from Ray Gannon to Ashley Crane to us. And when we leave this place, if God should call my husband and I on to somewhere else, it will still be the mission of this place. Okay, the mission will never, ever change. The vision, though, changes year to year, season to season. The vision is how we fulfill that mission. And we talked about Habakkuk telling us to write down the vision, that it's hard to fulfill the vision if you don't know what it is. So we wrote down what the vision was for 2018 for Beth Emanuel. And what was that vision? To reach 200 strong by the end of 2018, strong disciples. And so today we're going to talk about how we're going to fulfill that goal. You see, the good news is we know that it is Adonai's heart for us to grow as a congregation. How do we know that? Because when we read in his word, we know that it is his desire that all people should come to know him. And that's what growth represents. It represents new Jewish people and Gentile people coming to faith in their Messiah and growing as his Talmudim or followers. And, you know, I had not heard Yonatan's testimony, but my heart just was so stirred as he talked about how Yeshua was pleading for him, for his soul. That's who Yeshua is. That's how much he loves us. And I could just see Adonai interceding for each one of us at that point where that decision was going to be made. Are we going to accept him or not? I could just see Yeshua pleading for Myrna, for Evan, right? For Dan, for Raylan, for each one of us in that same way. So we know God wants us to grow because he wants others to come into his kingdom, others to be born anew, as Yonatan shared his testimony, as each one of us have. And I believe that this is a word that Adonai is speaking, not just to Beth Emanuel, but to the body of Messiah as a whole. And God often does this. When we are speaking in a series and things, he will have us listening. So Michael and I were listening to a couple different speakers this week and spiritual leaders. And they're talking about the same thing. They're encouraging their congregations, or they were on a show. One man was talking. He says the problem with the body of Messiah today is that, you know, people are not. We're going to talk about this understanding that God wants them to grow. So we're committed to this goal because we want to be in line with God's heart, and God's heart is to see people born anew. God's heart is to see people brought out of darkness into light. And he wants to see many Jewish people here on Long Island and this metropolitan area come to faith in Messiah. And that's who he has called us to reach. And that's why we have this vision. So we know where we're going. We want to reach 200 strong by the end of 2018. And we know why we're doing this, because Adonai loves people and he loves Jewish people. And he wants everyone to come to faith in him through the Messiah. So I want to talk about what it's going to feel like, to grow. You know, this week our congregational family increased by one with the birth of Mira in English. And most of us have actively watched Rena and Evan share throughout these last months the various details of their pregnancy, and especially if you've been a friend of Rena on Facebook. We have seen a lot of posts about the ups and downs that she's experienced through this pregnancy. And through that, many of you encouraged her. All of us were praying with them for this little baby girl. And I know the last week or so before the baby was born, you could not only hear the excitement in their minds and hearts, but their family. And I know whenever I would see Rena, I'd say, okay, how many more days? Or I'd tell her, 9 more days. And, you know, and we'll have your little baby girl here. And finally, Tuesday, Mira was born, and I received the text from Lucia and Rena's mom, and I said, well, are there any pictures? And so she sent me some privately, but all day I kept looking to see when they're going to post these pictures online, right, for everyone to see. And when you saw those pictures, what did you feel? Joy, right? A smile came over your face to see that little punim there, that face of that little girl, how precious she is. And for those of you who prayed or maybe encouraged her or maybe went over to help, prepare the house when they had a little problem there with that little critter, the little mice, and this was the answer to your prayer, right? And how exciting it was to see this baby come into the world. Friends, that's how it is when a new birth spiritually takes place. To see someone come to faith in the Messiah brings such joy and excitement in your heart. And Yeshua tells us in Luke 15, I tell you, there is joy among God's angel when one sinner repents. And that is the joy that you and I will get to experience as we see this congregation grow with new people coming to faith in Messiah and growing as his disciples. Think about what's going to happen as Mira grows, right? In a few weeks, we'll be welcoming her to her first service here at the synagogue. No one touch her hands or her face, okay? The rabbi always makes that because moms sometimes feel, you know, like I can't say anything to anyone, but don't touch your hands and don't touch your face, right? We have lots of germs, and the baby needs to be protected from that. But as she comes, every mother's going to remember when you had your little child and you brought your child home for the first time, and even though he's 6 foot tall now, right? You know, you think of that little baby, right? And the joy of that. And then before you know it, the Engel family will be celebrating her first birthday. And then the next thing you know, she's going to be in her Olivet nursery, and she's going to be learning the things there, and then she's going to be in our junior Shabbat, and who knows what adventure we'll be on by the time she gets in there. And then before you know it, she'll be having her bat mitzvah, right? And all along the way, we're going to watch her grow and mature like her brother. You know, did you see that? The legend, big brother, the legend, how cute that was. As he and his face smiling when he's holding his little sister. So she's going to be following in his footsteps, right? And we're going to see this. And all along the way, there's going to be excitement, right? As we have watched other children grow. And I say to sometimes to the young people and the children, you know, up here on the platform when I'm here, and I watch and I see the kids worshiping. And especially during the liturgy, like I was telling Hannah a few weeks ago, my heart is so touched as I see you with your hands up and you just singing out that liturgy. And I see Dan over there taking notes and messages sometimes. That's watching them grow, and there's an excitement in that. And that's what's going to happen when we see Mira. Well, that's the same in excitement and joy when we see someone come to faith and watch them grow as a follower and disciple of Yeshua. We each played a small part in the birth of Mira, and we're going to play a part. Some of you are going to be her teacher in the nursery. Some of you may want to sign up for the nursery now just so you can be her teacher, right? Some of you will be her teacher in junior Shabbat. Others will be a part of her life as she becomes into the bat mitzvah training. And we're all going to have a part of watching her grow and develop into the daughter of God that she was meant to be. That's the same thing, again, that we can do when we see people coming to faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. So I want to talk today about how we're going to fulfill the vision for 2018. And the good news is I have 1 point. Can you believe it? I have 1 point for my message. Many sub-points, but 1 point, one main point. And that point is we need to go. How are we going to fulfill the vision? We have to go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. Okay, turn to me so I can say it to you. Go. All right? We have to go. If we are going to grow, we have to go. That is the one word for 2018. Look with me at what Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and then 6 through 8. Yeshua called his 12 Talmidim and gave them authority, say authority, to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. Verse 6, but go, say it, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's our main focus. But again, even the Talmidim of Yeshua's day saw many Gentiles come to faith. But we're going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those afflicted with za'arat or leprosy, expel the demons. You have received without paying, so give without asking payment. So I was reading this passage a few weeks ago in my devotional times, and this is what I wrote down in my journal. I wrote down these verbs here, proclaim, heal, raise, cleanse, and expel. And I wrote down here, I said, all of these represent the authority that we have been given from Yeshua there in verse 1. But the first step is to go. And I wrote down, yet so often we stay, we sit, and we wait. Friends, if we are going to see the congregation grow, the kingdom of God expand, it is time for us to go. One of the speakers we heard this week said that the problem with the modern-day body of Messiah is that we have stopped going. We have stopped going to proclaim the good news. The other speaker was talking specifically about going to the prodigals, those who have walked away from faith. He shared how easy it is to be content with who we have in the congregation and that we stop reaching out to others. I'm saying it to you again and again and again. That's my filler word. My husband, I realize I say again a lot, but I'm going to say again a lot in this message because you need to hear this word, go. That is what God is calling us to do. And it is one of the five parts of our mission purpose statement that we were read earlier, declaring Yeshua as the Messiah. We don't need to declare that to one another because we know that he is the Messiah and we have embraced him as such. We need to go to those who are not yet connected to the Messiah. Look with me at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And Yeshua once again says to his Talmidim and to you and I here at Beth Emmanuel, therefore, say it with me, go. What did he say? Go and make people from all nations into Talmidim or disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I will be with you always, yes, even unto the end of the age. So in conjunction with declaring, we are going to see discipleship, as I talked about Mira growing up into the young woman that God, that she has created to be. That's what's going to also take place as we go. We are going to see people growing, because it's not enough to say a prayer. That initial prayer could be the first step in connecting to Messiah, but helping people get from where they are to where God wants them to be, that's discipleship. So when I'm praying for my family members, and you know that this year has been an increased time of prayer and interceding for souls, and I'm praying for my family, your family, for Jewish people that God has called us to, I'm praying for radical transformation. I'm praying for radical disciples to be birthed into the kingdom of God. We'll talk about discipleship at another time, but again, today I want to focus on this one word, go, what it means to us. First, I want to tell you it's an action. Oh, that's pretty basic, Rabbi Carol. You can't go if you're sitting still. So it means we have to get up and we have to do something. Growth will not take place if we simply sit here week after week in the synagogue or night after night in our homes. And yes, we can pray for new people to come to faith, and we do. If you come to our prayer meeting this afternoon from 2 to 3, we will undoubtedly pray for Jewish people and our family members to come to faith. But eventually, we have to go. We have to become the people of action. So how does that happen? Here are a few things I want to tell you. Number one is look for divine appointments every week. We have heard many, many times from different speakers who have come in to speak at Beth Emmanuel. I can remember specifically Rabbi Kokeb and Rabbi Stuart Winograd, who came into our congregation. They talked to us about having our antennas up in the community because every day God has a divine appointment with someone who he wants us to touch and to proclaim the good news to go to. And I shared a few months ago that I believe God was going to bring a new Jewish person into your life that very week. And it happened to some. And I believe that God's going to continue to do that. I was talking to Fred Wednesday night, and so Fred's going to come up and join me. You know, Fred had been sharing with us a month or so ago about how he goes to Starbucks, and there he met a gentleman who was not doing well, and he was discouraged and downcast. And Fred says, I'm going to pray for you. And Fred has a prayer journal, and he writes people's names down. I'm going to pray for you. And Fred prayed for this man. And one day he was leaving from Starbucks, and he's, you know, someone is like calling him out. And it was this man, and he says, you, my life has changed because of your prayers. Well, that's not the end of the story. Fred, this man had another woman. And so Fred's going to tell us what happened this past week.
So my first initial contact was with this fellow. I walk into Starbucks, get my coffee, as I do every Tuesday, because I go to a hematologist out there. And I see he's reading the Bible. And I say to him, I see you're reading the all-time bestseller. He says, sit down. Come on, let's talk. So I had my coffee. I sat, talked with him. I gave him a card, Bet the Manual. And we talked for a little while, and I left. Then the following week, I met that other fellow. And, no, well, it was probably a few weeks I met that other fellow with him. And then after that, another fellow. So last week I'm at Starbucks, and I'm sitting there with the two of them, the blind guy and this other guy that I brought a few weeks ago. And, you know, his life is changing. He really needs to be discipled. They go to, like, a small Harvest church out east. I'm sure it's fine. But he really needs to be discipled. So when I get together with him, I really try to pour Yeshua into him. And so what happened was this woman comes in that they know. I don't even know her. This is the woman whose husband I gave the card to. I don't know this lady. So she comes over. They introduce me. They says, oh, you're Fred. My husband told me about you. I says, yeah. I hope good things. But what happened was this woman knew this Jewish guy. She says, I'm hoping that this guy comes in. I gave him your card. She says, I'm only going to get a cup of coffee. I got to get home because the Maytag guy is going to fix my washer, dryer, whatever. And she says, I hope he comes in. I hope he comes in. Well, lo and behold, 10 minutes later, he walks in. She goes, Fred, this is a God moment. I know for sure. I go over, she introduces me to him. I talk to him for about 10 minutes, very, very secular. I gave him the card. I gave him my phone number. I says, anytime you want to talk, call me. I says, there's a lot to discuss. But just in talking with him for 10 minutes, I could see how secular he was. But that doesn't disturb God at all, and it doesn't disturb me. I said to myself, now you're on my prayer list, so look out. And God is going to do it. So,
amen.
So thank you.
Amen. Amen. And Fred, as Fred shared Wednesday night, he wasn't planning on going to Starbucks that day. He had put out his agenda for the day. And in that day, he's had a lot of things to do. But he says, you know what? I'm going to put those things aside, and I'm going to go to Starbucks. And because he went there, he was able to meet this Jewish man who came. And Fred is always carrying those cards on him from Beth Emanuel, those business cards which you can pick up out in the foyer. And he's always looking for divine appointments from Adonai. So I want to encourage you, look for those people that God wants you to connect with. Second is to open your mouth. Let's open our mouths. All right? Guys, I know most of you. All of you are pretty good talkers, okay? Let me just say, we get up in that Oneg room next week, and we're having those bagels, and that, you know, we moved upstairs because downstairs the acoustics wasn't so good, and it was very hard to hear anybody. So you guys can talk. Good. So God wants us, though, to open our mouth to tell the good news, to declare who Yeshua is to you. Well, how do I do this, Rabbi Carol? I can't simply blurt out Yeshua is the Messiah wherever I go. That would seem too awkward. But I want to tell you, trust God that he will open up a door. Again, Fred sits down, he sees a man with a Bible, he makes a comment, it opened up the door for him to sit down with him, then to this other friend, and then to the woman, and now to a Jewish man, all because Fred opened his mouth and said, oh, that's the bestseller book you're reading there. Look for those divine appointments, and open your mouth and speak the truth. Share the goodness of Adonai in your life. Share a victory that you have experienced personally. Share the testimonies of other people in the congregation. Just simply open your mouth and trust for him to bring you opportunity. And I realize sometimes you could feel awkward, like, I don't know, I don't want to just... Because I remember when I was first moved to New York and I was taking classes, Hebrew classes up at Stony Brook just because I wanted to keep my Hebrew somewhat alive. And I felt awkward because... You know, everyone is Jewish in the class, and I'm thinking, well, how am I going to do this? I can't wear a sign on me that says, you know, I go to a Messianic congregation. But God opened up the opportunity because the professor wanted us to give a controversial speech in Hebrew. So I gave a speech on why you can be Jewish and believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. It was the only speech that he let the question and answer go to English. And because of that, the next semester, there was a new kid in the class who wasn't there, didn't hear my speech, but the rest of the class must have told him about it, that he came up to it and asked me, and for the entire semester, after class, every week, we sit and look at the Hebrew Scriptures. And I pray that this young man is now in the faith, but he looked at me at the end and he says, Carol, I believe what you're saying, but I can't because of my family. What they would think if I accepted Yeshua. But I believe that those seeds, I believe I'm going to see him in heaven because of those seeds that were sown and that someone else came along and watered those seeds. But we have to open our mouth. The third thing is to heal the sick. I want to encourage you, start praying for your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends who are sick. Oh, I'm afraid to pray, Rabbi Carol. What if they don't get healed? What if nothing happens? Well, I can assure you, if we don't pray for them, nothing will happen. Okay? Leave the results up to God. I read one of the leaders in Israel, many of you know him, Ron Cantor. He posted on Facebook about how he prays for people when it comes to healing. And he shares this story about how, he was in a restaurant and there was this waitress. And so he said to the waitress, do you need anything? Are you sick in any way? Do you need any healing in your body? And she says, well, my feet are really bothering me. And he says, well, sometimes when I pray for people, God heals them. Can I pray for you? I said, that's a great way to say it because it takes the pressure off you if you're feeling like, oh, no, what if they don't? Sometimes when I pray, God heals people. Can I pray? She said yes. So he and the people with him prayed for her healing of her feet and also prayed that she would experience a manifest presence of God. Immediately, the pain was gone from her feet. And he said the countenance in her face changed. She was like glowing because God met her there. But it took someone to say, let me pray for you. So let's start praying for the sick. The fourth thing is to bring others to Yeshua. When we read the stories of the first Talmid team that Yeshua called to come follow him, and we read it in Yochanan today in our Torah service, chapter 1. Look at this. Verse 41, the first thing, say that with me. First thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Shimon and tell him, we have found the Mashiach. He, what did he do? Took him to Yeshua. Looking at him, Yeshua said, you are Shimon bar Yochanan. You will be known as Kepha, which means the rock. Then the next day, having decided to leave for Galilee, this is what we read earlier, Yeshua found Philip and said, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Kepha lived. Philip found, say that with me, found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one that Moshe wrote about in the Torah, also the prophets. It is Yeshua ben Yosef from Nazareth. Nathanael answered him, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And what did Philip say? Come and see. The first thing, they took him to Yeshua. They found them. They searched for them. They said, come and see. You see, that's what we need to do to bring people to Yeshua. So, great, Rabbi Carol, but what can I practically do? One word to go with go. Invite, invite, invite. During 2018, we will continue to have tables at local fairs and look for other opportunities to be in our community so that we can show them who we are. If you have any ideas about that, please share them with my husband or me or one of the leadership team, and then make yourself available to help fulfill that idea. But we are always open to ideas of what we can do to be in the community as a congregation. However, turn to your neighbor and say, however, that means this is important. The majority of inviting is going to take place when you and I actually talk to someone panim el panim, face to face. When we read about Andrew and Philip going to Kepha and Nathanael, we know that these were people that they had relationship with. We don't want to be like headhunters looking for a notch on our belt. First, we need to have a genuine heart for the people that we are reaching out to, and it is going to manifest in some type of personal relationship. So I'm going to encourage you. Some of you need to start taking some of your acquaintances out for a cup of coffee and developing that friendship. Some of you need to pick up the phone this week and call some of those prodigals that we have been praying for and simply say, I was thinking of you. and want you to know that God loves you and we want to welcome you back into the family of God. When I heard this speaker talking about prodigals, my husband and I were just amazed, again, because we were listening to people talking about going and making disciples and sharing the faith. I picked up my phone immediately, and I texted two people that I have been reaching out to, two prodigals. One is a family member, and one is someone locally. And I reached out, and I texted them immediately and said, I love you, God loves you, and he wants you to come back home. Friends, make that phone call this week. That person that you have been praying for to come home, pick up the phone and say, hey, dude, just want you to know God loves you. I love you, and he wants you to come back to him. There are many, many opportunities to invite a Jewish person to the special events we hold here at Beth Emanuel. Simply having the business card like Fred does, and we put them out on the table in the foyer, is a good place to start. I'm going to ask my ushers to come down now, and they're going to hand you out a packet. And in this packet are three different cards. And the first is our Bagel Oneg card, invite card, which we've had this in the past over the last 2 years, and I always put a date on it, so I revised it. I didn't put any specific date on it. It just says the first Saturday of the month, which will be true except for a Passover month, and then we'll have a matzah Oneg. But so that you can take these cards and that you can hand them out to people. And just, again, it's a good way to say to someone, oh, I'd like you to come. It's bring a friend. So will you come with me and have a bagel afterwards and a cup of coffee? So just invite you to our congregation. Let's say goodbye. Lehitra Ot, we love you. Safe travels. Yonatan, for those who are listening to the podcast, Yonatan and Aviva are leaving. They're going to New York. Blessings to you. Okay, YouTube. We'll get the link and post it on the Beth Emanuel Facebook page, his testimony, so you can hear the whole thing later. So, again, blessing to them. So Ralph and Angie are handing out this packet of cards. And so this first one is the invite a friend to the Bagel Oneg. So all you have to do, like we have them on next weekend, you can just write on there December 4th. Is it the 4th next week? No, December 2nd. Second, thank you. December 2nd, yeah, December 4th, no one will be here. December 2nd, and you hand it to someone this week and say, come, it says our congregation wants us to invite a friend, so I'm inviting you to come and to have a bagel with me and come to my service. The second one is our Hanukkah party in December. And I made up a card. We have the flyers out there, but I made a card because sometimes the cards are a little easy to handle. So you can give that to someone. And it's such a fun time to invite Jewish people. We've had many, many Jewish people who are not yet connected to the Messiah come to our holiday celebrations because it's just a great atmosphere. And there's so many other ways that you can invite people. We have children inviting their friends to Junior Shabbat. And next Saturday is our monthly youth study, so our youth can invite a Jewish friend to that study. We have a couples thing coming up in December. Couples, you can invite a Jewish couple to come. Everyone can use a little work on their marriage, right, to have a time out. So that's good things. And from Passover to Yom HaShoah to Purim, all of these are events that we do as a congregation that we always give a flyer, and I'm going to start making the cards because I think they're easier to handle, that you can just say to someone, come, we're having a special event. We'd like you to come and join me for this event. But I can hear you in my mind saying, but Rabbi Carol, I have invited people, and they keep saying no. I'm going to respond two things to that. Number one, don't be a grumpy believer. Don't act like the devil and then turn around and say to someone, you want to come to my synagogue with me where my life has been totally changed and transformed? They're going to say, yeah, right. They want nothing to do with you or your God or the synagogue. So don't be a grumpy believer. So sometimes maybe the witness that we have been has not exactly been the best witness to that coworker that we're trying to invite. The second thing I want to encourage you is that the response that they give you as no, don't take that as a permanent no. Instead, take it as a no for right now. So listen to this story I was reading in an article Thursday or Friday, and this spiritual leader was talking about a visitor who had come to their congregation, and he writes in this article, "I had a conversation recently with someone that had been attending our congregation for about a month. I asked them, as I often do others, how they begin attending our congregation. Their response had a profound impact on me. They told me that a friend of theirs who had been attending for some time had consistently invited them, and that this person just found excuse after excuse not to come. However, after a particularly hard season in their life, they finally decided it was time to come to check out this congregation that their friend had told them had changed their life. She wanted to see if it could have the same impact on her. So 1 month later, she told me that it was all true. She just came to see, but has not left. In fact, she told this leader that the congregation was helping her heal a great wound in her life." And he says, "I love these stories," and this is the key. He said, "The key to this story was how her friend consistently," say that with me, "consistently invited her to come to congregation with her. And in God's providence, he used this friend and her, that habit of continually inviting, to bring this woman." I look at this congregation. So Fred was up here. Natalie and Fred are here because I consistently invited them. Somehow I got in touch with Natalie and Fred because when I first moved here, I live in Lake Ronkonkoma with a family from the congregation, a single woman and her two teenage daughters. And Natalie's mom was in a home right there by where I live. So I went to visit her mother, and from there it was in contact with Natalie. And I would call Natalie and Fred all the time. Mainly Natalie is who I spoke to and would invite them. And just like this woman, there is always a reason why they didn't come, until one day they came. And now that is how many years later? About 30 years they've been a part of this congregation, right? Their daughter Tina was bat mitzvah here, a little less than 30, maybe around 30, right? I look, Adeline serving in the nursery. Rena kept inviting Adeline, inviting her, and one day, she invited this Gentile woman to a Rosh Hashanah service. You're like, how can I invite a Gentile person to something Jewish? Do it. She invited Adeline, and Adeline is here. Her two kids are growing up in the congregation. I look at Sheila. She's walking in the neighborhood she had just moved in. Evelyn drove by, rolled the window down, and said, "Would you like to come to the synagogue with me?" And Evelyn wasn't even really going that faithfully herself. Please remember Evelyn in prayer, her and Marty. It's been a tough week, so reach out to her with a phone call if you think about it, and just keep her in prayer. You know, the aides and stuff have, you know, not showed up when they should, so just a side thing for people of congregation, just to keep her in prayer and reach out to her. But Sheila's here because someone invited her. They're here, and they are connected and growing as followers of Yeshua because someone invited them to come. All came to faith here at Beth Emanuel, and all are growing and continuing to grow as followers of Yeshua. We want to see many more Freds and Natalies and Adelines and Sheilas in the congregation, and friend, you are the key to that happening. Now, I know you don't think that, so turn to your neighbor and say, "You are the key." No, say it like you really mean it. You are the key. If this congregation is going to grow in 2018, you are the key. And maybe you're here visiting us for the first time. Maybe someone invited you, or maybe you found us by searching on the internet or by driving by day after day. I want to say once again, as Chris said earlier, we too welcome you here. We are so glad that you have come to join us. And my husband and I pray that this will truly become a congregational family for you, like it did for Fred and Natalie and Adeline and Sheila and so many more around you. I believe that Jewish people are really searching for spiritual reality, but they're not finding it at the local non-Messianic congregation. Many synagogues are shutting down. I was reading an article from 2014 trying to find statistics because I know several have shut down here in our area or merged, and it said that in the last 10 decades, 10 congregations, Jewish synagogues closed down in Nassau County. But I believe that Jewish people are open to hear the good news. And if you and I don't go tell them who's going to do it. You know, this morning I was reflecting. Yesterday, Rabbi Michael and I drove to Beth David Cemetery in Elmont to visit his grandmother's grave. And I was thinking this morning of all the Jewish people buried there. And this is the thought, because I knew what I was speaking on. I said, God, how many of them ever heard about Yeshua? It was one of those Selah moments. How many of them ever heard about Yeshua? Friends, that's why we exist, is to tell Jewish people that Yeshua is real, that he is the Messiah, and that they can come to know him and have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. That's why we need to be those people who go in 2018 to share the good news, that we should always be inviting, inviting, inviting people. Rabbi Michael shared an article on his Facebook page, so you can go check it out, about a recent study that was done by Barna Research. And Mike Brown, Dr. Michael Brown wrote this article about this study. But it said the recent headline in the Jerusalem Post spoke about this study, and this was the headline. It said, one study says one-fifth of Jewish millennials believe Yeshua is the Son of God. That's pretty amazing, right? It went on to say that these young people who were born between 1984 and 1999 described themselves as religious and practice Jewish ritual, but they're unaffiliated. In other words, they don't go to synagogue. They value tradition and family, and they are proud to be Jewish. And when it came to beliefs about Yeshua, this is what it said. The survey found that 21% of Jewish millennials believe Yeshua was God. 21% believe that he is God in human form who lived among the people of the first century. 28% believe that he was a rabbi or a spiritual leader, not God. So that means 49% are open to Yeshua in some way or fashion. That coincides with another study done by the Pew Report that says that 34% of all American Jews who were surveyed, 34% said that believing Yeshua is the Messiah is compatible with being Jewish. Isn't that amazing? So 34% of the Jewish people you meet, that's one-third of the Jewish people you meet, are open to the fact that, hey, Yeshua might be the Messiah. We need to go. We need to keep inviting. Another article I was reading by a spiritual leader said that he encouraged his congregation on the topic of inviting and going to look for three things. Look for people to say these three things. If someone says, things are not going well, if someone says, I was not prepared for, or they say, I am not from here, you hear any of those things, that's a good opportunity to step in and say, you know what? I know someone who can help you. You weren't prepared for this happening in your life. I went through something similar. Something caught me off guard, but you know what? Because of my relationship with God, you know, as Chris said, being a part of a community where you can go to, you know, and have people hold you up and support you in prayer, you can step in and you can share and proclaim who Yeshua is to you in those situations. Tell them the story of how God met you or someone else here at Beth Emanuel in a similar situation. So I have some practical tools that we've handed out to you. As I said, you have that Bagel Oneg card and the Hanukkah card. Now, the third one is a card with three lines on it. Everyone see that card? Can you take that out and grab a pen? Because this is what we're going to do with this card. So the first two are pretty easy to understand. You're going to hand those to somebody. Very simple. You're going to give it to someone and say, come join me for a bagel. Come join me for our Hanukkah party. I can promise you that Ralph and I will make plenty of latkes this year. So you're going to invite, and even if it's someone who has said no to you in the past, just think about it. This just might be the time that they say yes. So, as I said, on that bagel oneg, I would write the date, December 2nd, when you hand it out to someone this week. Also, Chris mentioned the app. We have our Beth Emanuel app that you can download in your app store on the iPhone or whatever the store is called on your the Google store. And you can download this app, and you can go there, and not only can you give on, to the congregation that way, but you can hit on these events. So we're updated through the end of December, so you hit on that bagel oneg, and you, it says send, and you send it as a message to someone. So this week you're going to hand that card to someone, and the second thing you're going to do is you're going to go to that app, and you're going to send that invitation to someone via that app. As well, you can always go to our Facebook page and use it as a means of inviting people. Now, this last sheet of paper with three lines on it, this is the first thing we're going to do. Does everyone have a pen? Anyone missing a pen? Because Ralph was handing out. Ralph, my son needs one. Everyone else has a pen? Okay, so we're going to take. We're going to do these step by step. Step one, you're going to write down the names of three local people who are already in your life that are not connected to the Messiah. Okay, try to make two of them, if possible, be Jewish. But three people who are in your life who are not connected to the Messiah, who are local. In other words, even though I'm praying for my family, they're not going to go on my list, this particular list. All right? So let's everyone do that. Write down three people who are already a part of your life who are not yet connected to the Messiah. And if you can make two of those be Jewish, that would be good. All right? So as you're doing this, the second thing that you're going to do, well, let me explain to you what these three people, these three names represent. These three people are people you're going to believe to be brought into the kingdom of God in 2018. And seeing them grow as disciples here at Beth Emanuel. So again, just take a moment. So that's the purpose in writing these names down. These are people who are not connected to God yet, and not connected to the Messiah. But in 2018, we're going to believe to see them come to faith and growing as disciples here at Beth Emanuel. All right, so do we have that list completed? Working on it? Okay. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to share these names with me personally. How can you do that? You can email them to me at ccalise@bethemanuel.com. Most of you get emails from me on a regular basis. If you don't, then see me afterwards so I make sure I can get you on that email list. Or you should have received a text from me yesterday that said, join us for Shabbat service. Tomorrow, Aviva and her husband will be sharing a special. If you didn't get that text, see me so I can get you on that list. And so you can text them to me. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to take all of those names and I'm going to make a master list so that when we do have prayer on Thursday and Saturdays, we will be praying over those names as a congregation. So that's the purpose in sending them to me. But the other thing that you're going to do is after service today, you're going to connect with two or maybe three other people, no more than three. So there should be no more than four people in a group, okay? So three, no more than four people in the group. And you're going to share those names with one another. So if Dan, Chris, Elizabeth, and I were in a group, I would share my names, and they'd write them on their card, and they would share their names, and write, and then we would be praying every day for those names. So that means you would be praying for 9 or 12 names every day, specifically you praying for these people to come to faith in Yeshua and to grow as his disciples. Now, I'm going to tell you a testimony. We have done something similar to this in times past. And I remember one of the people who was on my list was Myrna's niece, Jennifer. And the next thing I'm going to tell you to do is to reach out and make contact. And I remember I went to her home, and I took her out to Burger King and sit and talk with this young woman. And I know that I was part of the piece of the puzzle of her coming to faith. And she was somebody who the group I was in prayed for several months, and then I reached out and invited her, and she is now serving God with her husband there in Tennessee. Okay, so God uses these practical things that we do. So we're going to share that. We're going to pray. Again, pray as a congregation. You're going to pray in your little group for these people. And these are going to be your accountability partners so that each week you can say to each other, so if Myrna and Gary are my accountability partners, I can say to Myrna, you know, how's this person doing on your list? Have you been able to reach out to them? Have you invited them? What's going on? Is there anything specific I can pray for with this person? So you understand it's being accountable to encourage each other to keep going and to invite. Step four is you're going to make contact with these Jewish people and start inviting them out for a cup of coffee. Befriend them. Don't beat them over the head with your Bible. just develop a friendship with them, and so that they get to know you and you get to know them. And the fifth thing is you're going to invite them to a Hanukkah party or beyond. Invite them to know Messiah. Invite them to come to faith. Invite them to grow here as Tommy Dean. So this is just one practical way for us to go in 2018. It's not the only way, okay? But it is one way that I believe God would have us to do. So I want to encourage you, you know, after service, to make sure you connect with two or three other people to become partners to pray these people into the kingdom. Again, I am so glad that someone took the time to come knocking on my mom's door when we had just moved into that neighborhood and invite her to this local congregation right around the corner. Because of that, my life has been forever changed. You could be the key to changing someone's life. So I want to encourage you, go invite. So right now, I want you to place your hands on the names on that sheet that you have, and I'm going to pray over them right now. So put your hands on those names. God, I thank you for every name on these sheets here, God. And we lift them up before you, God, believing that you want them to connect to the Messiah and grow in a personal relationship with you. And we pray that 2018 would be a year where they truly come to you in a personal way. Help us to be that friend that shows them the way to Messiah, the way to you. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Maybe you're visiting us here today. Again, you may not feel comfortable writing names down on the card, and that's okay. Once again, we want to say thank you for taking the time to come to be here. And our prayer is that Beth Emanuel would become a family, a spiritual family for you. Let's stand to our feet. I want to close with an opportunity for you to connect to Messiah. Maybe you personally haven't made that connection. Maybe you were invited here and you've come, but you don't really know him. Maybe you knew him, but you walked away. You might be the prodigals that we talked about. Whatever the case may be, God wants you to connect, and he wants you to know him. Whether you're Jewish or not, God loves you, and he wants you to know him personally. So just let's pray this simple prayer after me. Again, the prayer is the beginning of a process of growing in him. So, Adonai, thank you for loving me, that you drew me to this place so that I can connect to you. I choose to put my faith in Messiah Yeshua. I want to know you more and follow you all the days of my life. Amen. So one word for 2018, go, so that we can grow by inviting. So go, grow, invite. Those are the things that we need to do. We'll be reminding you of this through the months ahead, but we are excited because we know, and again, hearing the testimony of Yonatan this morning should encourage you to see Yeshua interceding for him. To see that as he was caught up, as he was there, had died there, and to see that vision. Friends, Yeshua has a heart for all those people that you put on that list. He wants them to know God, and he's interceding, and we are his hands and feet. So let us go to the lost this year. Stretch your hand out. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai panav alekev v'yisim lecha shalom. May Adonai put his grace and peace upon you. May you walk in his joy. May you walk in great victory. We just bless you in his name, Yeshua. Amen. God bless you. We'll be having prayer from 2 to 3 and Hebrew from 3 to 4. Have a great week.